Legendary rocker Kim Mitchell is back with a new album, and I have to say it's about damn time, Kim. Here to talk about the big fantasize, it's Kim Mitchell. Hey there.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We're in the middle of a pandemic, but other than that, we're doing what we can, right?
Well, I've got to ask you, I know you just had a birthday, so how was your pandemic birthday? How did you celebrate?
I decided to cancel it till next year, so.
Okay. All right.
I've been suggesting friends do that, too. It's like some friends are like, hey, I'm turning 5-0 this year, I'm turning this. I'm like, dude, cancel it.
Yeah.
I mean, hold on till next year.
Well, turn exactly. This year has not counted. It has not existed. You're turning 50 next year. That's a good way to stay young, right?
That's right. I've been 39 for decades.
Okay. Well, speaking of years, though, it's been 13 years since your last album, right?
Yep. The last album was called Ain't Life Amazing. That was 2007, and this album may not have been recorded. I was writing stuff over the course of 13 years, and if it wasn't for Greg Wells, who lives in the town of Los Angeles, I think that's where you are. He's a friend of mine and visited me here in Canada, Toronto, Canada, and I gave him the USB key of shame with all these songs on it, and he called me and said, man, we have to record this. Please come to Los Angeles to my studio in Culver City, and let's record this stuff. So with a little bit of hesitation, because it's a big undertaking, I went, yeah, sure, man, let's do it. I couldn't be happier. I mean, it was awesome working with him.
Tell me about the writing process of this. Like, how do you know when it's time to put out an album? You know, it's obviously you feel pressure from fans. You know, they want new music. They want, you know, new material from you. But obviously, as a creative person, as an artist, you're kind of like, you know what? It's just has to feel right. Am I correct on that, or explain it to me?
Well, pretty much. I think it works all different ways, Jeremy. I think there are bands that have all kinds of pressures, and they give in to those pressures. I've never been that guy. I just can't, you can't hurry creativity. When a song happens, it happens. When it's finished, it's finished. And then when you want to record it, such is the way the business is now. I think it's just more or less just record if you want. And painters have to paint, dancers have to dance, musicians have to write and compose. And if they have the availability to record it, they're going to record it. So I did, and I had the opportunity to do that. So I thought, okay, now's the time, because I'm hooked up with an amazing producer, a Grammy Award-winning producer, and I thought, why not? Let's just go for this.
When it comes to writing, there's an interesting story that you have about Wishes, the new single. It's sort of, you say it fell into your lap quite literally.
Literally, it did fall into my lap. I'm always, you know how musicians are going, well, I came up with this part and I came up with that part. I'm a believer that the song finds me. I've always felt that. I always felt like I'm the song's roadie. And 10 years ago in a waiting room, just by chance, I picked up a book of poetry, which I would never do, as you usually pick up outdated Reader's Digest.
Right.
That's usually what happens in a waiting room. And I picked it up, and it was the poem Wishes, was the first poem I read. It wasn't page one, it was somewhere in the middle, and the poem knocked me out. The lyric, the message, I just loved what it was saying by A.C. Child. And I thought, okay, I want to write a song to this. So I started writing. I got the book to my house. Amazon wasn't around then. I'm not sure how it got to my house. But wrote the verses part, then realized quickly, Jeremy, that even though it's a complete poem, it's not. And now it's in a song. It's missing pieces. It doesn't have a chorus. It doesn't have a refrain. It doesn't have a little musical deviation part. It was missing. And that whole process took me 10 years to finish it. And I'm not saying I was working on it every day, but every 4 or 5 months, I'd pick up my acoustic guitar, opportunity to kind of play it, go, that's not right. It's almost like the song was telling me, no, you don't have it yet, no. And then one day, just 5 months ago or so, I was playing it and came to the awkward spot where I thought things need to change here. And I just stopped playing guitar and sang a melody, and it was like the song was going, yes, that's it, that belongs there, do more of that. And within an hour or two, I had the thing finished. And then the song went, okay, bud, I'm all done with you, you go that way, and I'll go this way.
Well, I'm such an impatient person that I would just get so frustrated and say, forget it. But I mean, you sort of kept it in the back of your mind, or, you know, it was still cooking. It was still cooking all that time.
Good point. And it was. And I adopted that attitude a long time ago recording. It's like there's always the other side of the mountain of the song when you're composing. You know, if it's not a good tune and you don't believe in it, or people keep telling you, like, why are you writing this? It's like useless. But as a writer, if you believe in it, man, just keep hacking away at it. The part will come. It might not, hopefully it won't take 10 years.
Right.
But I was busy doing other things too. But.
Is there a song though that you wrote? A similar sort of question. Is there a song that you've written that you thought, you know what, I actually hate this one, and then everybody loved it and thought it was great, and then you were like, okay, maybe I was wrong.
None of my songs I hate. They're all my children. Mm-hmm. Some of them were a challenge to me, and when it came to sort of the meetings of you have too much material on a record, you pick a tune and you go, okay, well, I'd take that one off just because of your own personal experiences. But there's not a song I don't love. I can tell you on the other end of the spectrum, though, the quickest song that I recorded was a song called Rock and Roll Duty. Mm-hmm. And that song kicks along quite nice, and I'm happy with that tune. But, man, the thing was written probably, I think the song might only be 4 minutes. I might have taken 10 minutes to write it. It was just sort of bang, it just happened.
All right, so tell me about the music writing process. I've never written a song before. Obviously, you find inspiration just comes along, it just happens. Do you ever, though, like, sit down and say, all right, I have to write something today? Like, that just seems like it would be too forced. So how does most of your songwriting happen?
You're right. Forced creativity is a drag. Forced creativity are guys and girls in the studio writing jingles and writing, I'm not sure what they're doing, but it certainly hasn't never been my process. My process is, and I'm not a cosmic guy, but I always think that these ideas are floating around in the universe way up there, and they pick different musicians and artists to sort of bring them to life. And that's kind of how I've always looked at it. Like, these ideas come to me in the most unusual places and times. It's not when I'm sitting down in the studio, I sit there and go, okay, here I go, I'm going to write. No. I'll be driving somewhere, going to pick up groceries, and all of a sudden a melody or a riff will be in my head. You sing it into your phone, or you do that. You get home and you start to develop it. So stuff sort of happens that way. Or it's a lyric. I work with lyricists a lot. They'll show me a few lines of something, and, you know, 10 of the lines, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I'll see two or three lines and go, whoa, this is cool. Like, let's try working on this.
Does it always come to you when you're wide awake, or are you one of those people that, you know, you lay in bed and then all of a sudden it's like, I gotta go run to the guitar because I just woke up with a good idea?
You mean the Keith Richards story when he wrote, found the riff of Satisfaction, right? I mean, that's what happened. You woke up out of sleep and hummed it into, or played it right there into a tape recorder. No, I'm usually kind of awake when it happens. I can't think of a time where I woke up in the middle of the night and went, I can't think of anything else that I wake up in the middle of the night for other than I have to go to the bathroom and I go back to sleep.
I'm surprised in your 30s that's happening to you, though, Kim.
Well, I said I was 39 for decades, Jeremy.
With this whole lockdown, quarantine, whatever we call it now, did you find that to be a creative time to sort of have no distraction and get a lot done? Or what did you do during the shutdown?
I think you're hitting on something here. I think there's two types of people. There's the motivated ones and the ones that aren't motivated. I'm the latter.
Okay.
I'll walk by my guitars and wave, and I'm not motivated to write. All my friends are like, oh, man, I bet you're writing another record. I'm like, no, I barely play the guitar right now. I garden, I cook, I have a dog, I walk. Just kind of living life, trying to be careful, putting a mask on when I go into places, and sanitizing, and that just doing what I feel I should be doing, that's all. But as far as music and motivated, no. I'm actually trying to sand a table down these days, a table that I eat at, because it's got all kinds of marks and stuff. And that's taking me a job that would take you, an hour to do. I think I'm on my second week.
Well, I mean, this is coming from the guy who takes 10 years to finish a song, though, right? I mean, isn't it perfection takes time, they say?
No, man, it's not perfection. Why hurry?
Okay, all right.
No, to be honest with you, when an idea hits, I'm on it, though. I'm really on it. So if I do get an idea, please don't think that I sit back and go, yeah, okay, I'll work on it for 5 minutes and then I'm out of here. No, I'm the guy that'll be burning the midnight lamp and go 2 o'clock in the morning, oh my God, I haven't eaten in like a day. So I'm that person.
All right. Okay, so let's go back to the album. What can people expect from it? Sum up the vibe of the new album.
Okay, sure, absolutely. I have two kinds of styles that I write. Some of it is Go For Soda, Rock and Roll Duty, I Am a Wild Party. It's sort of really rocky stuff where I run into a room, I yell a lot, and I kick stuff around and I leave. And then I have sort of this other stuff I like to say is a musical equivalent of just more atmospheric stuff. It's the lighting is better. There's some dry ice going. And that's the stuff that I had given Greg Wells, my producer. And he was like, this is a side of you that people should hear more of. Let's do an album of this. So even though there's a couple of songs that kick along, there's another one on it called Two Up to Be Down that kind of kicks along. A lot of it is more atmospheric kind of stuff than my sort of shouty stuff.
And so the new track is Wishes, and then I guess the details are all on your website, right?
Yeah, they can go to kimmitchell.ca, which is in Canada, or they can find the song on wherever they find your songs, on Spotify or music streaming services, Apple Music and all that. So, yeah, have a listen. I hope it seems people like it so far. It's got a cool message, I think, and for a song that was written not around COVID at all, it was all done way before, that's got a kind of a cool lyric that I feel is somewhat relevant.
Are you ready to hit the stage again and give concerts and a tour? Like, are you one of those artists that's just itching, or are you just still thumbing around the house?
Yeah, I'm getting kind of bored around here. I Jones, that gives me life. Mm-hmm. Sweaty rock and roll room, the whole trip with the musicians, sitting around airports and traveling a little bit with dudes that I really love playing around. And I know, you know, the stage people you get to know that you've seen over your career. Yeah, it's a beautiful experience that I miss dearly.
And I had to look back because the last time that you were on the radio with us, August 2012 in Winnipeg. So we're long overdue for this update, aren't we?
Yeah, well, thanks for the update. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. And like I said, I knew that we'd spoken and met before, and I was like, okay, we've got to find out. And so we have the audio actually on our interview website now. But so speaking of websites, give that website address one more time, Kim.
Yeah, it's kimmitchell.ca.
All right, and we'll be sure to check it out. And again, the new single is called Wishes. The great Kim Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks a lot, man.